That song, I'll Live for Him, that's a fitting song for basically what I want to preach about today. I've been preaching this series from the book of Acts called In the Name of Jesus by the Power of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, living in the name of Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit is how we live as participants in the mission of God. It's a choice to say, we will live for Him, as we just sang about. And that living has a lot to do with our baptism and understanding what our baptism means and the claim that our baptism, or that God in Christ through our baptism, has upon our lives. So my sermon today, which is going to be based out of Acts chapter 19, 1 through 7, my sermon is called, Our Baptism Matters, Being the People We Were Baptized to Be. So let's pray and then we'll read this text. Father God, Your grace is upon us and we are thankful for that, because we know apart from Your grace, apart from Your mercy, apart from Your love that is beyond our comprehension, we would be hopeless. You gave Your Son, Jesus Christ, up upon the cross, letting Him die for our sins. We also believe, God, that You raised Him from death, that You exalted Him as the Lord and Messiah. God, those of us who believe in Him, we've surrendered our lives to Him, turning from our sins, repenting, and being baptized, God. And I pray this morning as we open Your Word, God, that our eyes and ears can be open to see and hear the message You want us to hear, to remember why our baptism matters, that we may go into the world that You've put us in, a world that is indeed very troublesome, very challenging, and remember who we are and the life You've called us to live. God, I pray You'll pour upon me again the gift from Your Spirit of preaching the gospel with grace and with truth. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 7, it's here on the screen. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road to the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They answered, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." So Paul asked, "Then what baptism did you receive?" "John's baptism," they replied. Paul said, "John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Most of you know this, but if you're visiting with us, behind me here is what we call a baptistry. It's about a 10-foot tank, if you want to put it like that. It's filled up with water, and there is where we baptize people, or more theologically correct, where God baptizes people who are willing to turn away from their sins, repent, confess the name of the Lord Jesus, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, just so you, it, by the way, I mean, you can, doesn't have to be in that baptistry tank. Be baptized in Lake Michigan if you want to. When I lived in Colorado, my landlord was, we got baptized, and my landlord was 6'8", 350 pounds. He calls me up. I'm helping a friend set up some house churches. And so we don't have a church baptistry. And he calls me up on a Friday night about 10 o'clock and says, "It's Rex, it's time to give it up." I was like, "What are you talking about, Jason?" Like, "I mean, give it up to the Lord." I was like, "What do you mean?" He's like, be baptized. He's like, "Let's go down to the river." This is the North Platte River in Colorado, springtime. All of the snow in the mountains is running off. The river is swollen. I said, "We better wait till the morning." And we did, and thankfully we had two other guys. They were both about 6'4", and so what we did is we tied ropes to all three of them, tied them to the bumper of a pickup truck that way. So, you know, just so you know, baptism, you know, we believe that the baptism is immersion in water, but it's not a baptism until all the bubbles stop coming up. We actually believe that that people are raised out of the water, and there's a theological reason for this. So you don't have to worry about, I saw online a few weeks ago a baptism, and for whatever reason, the person baptizing, lowering the person in the water, held them underwater for a minute. I'm like, "Oh my goodness." We won't do that. There's beauty and grace in baptism, and it's not, the beauty and grace of God in baptism is not just being immersed in water, but actually being raised out of the water, being raised from the water. And there's theological reasons for this, or a theological reason. It's because baptism is our participation in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. So here's what the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 6. "Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." So just as Jesus died and then was raised from the dead, baptism is our death and resurrection too. We are dying to ourselves and being raised by God into a new life that is in Christ. And I hope you understand that that's a really important step. In fact, it's an essential step, but for reasons, there may be more reasons than we often realize. And I don't know why sometimes it's such an argument or debate in Acts, when the, you know, you can start with Acts 2, when they heard that Jesus had been exalted as Lord and Messiah, and they realized that they're the sinners. They didn't argue. They just said, what now? What do we do now? And Peter said, "Well, you repent and be baptized." And they did. It wasn't a theological debate, and they didn't get into all the little different nuances and everything. They just said, "If this is what God is asking us to do, then we'll do it." Baptism is essential, but for more reasons than we often realize. The story that we just read in Acts 19 is about 12 disciples. men who are following Jesus. But there's something about them that leads Paul to question whether they have received the Holy Spirit. So Paul asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And as it turns out, the 12 disciples didn't even know about the Holy Spirit. Oops. Houston, we have a problem. Except the problem isn't with Houston. It's with these disciples. How do these men become believers, commit themselves to living as disciples of Jesus, but know nothing about the Holy Spirit? I don't know, and I doubt, well, I don't know. It's a good question, but our text doesn't say why, or at least not directly. Our text is concerned with the what. But maybe, perhaps, by understanding what, we'll understand why. Paul asked these 12 disciples, into what then were you baptized? And their response is John's baptism, which is a problem. Reading through Acts, we see that those who believe in Jesus are baptized in the name of Jesus. Or sometimes, you know, like we'll say when a person is being baptized, baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's the same thing. It's implying under the authority of God, under the authority of the Lord who is now Jesus. It's not just baptism, though. The blessings of healing and salvation are done in the name of Jesus. Even further on in chapter 19, evil spirits are driven out of people in the name of Jesus. And in the name of Jesus, that name is said to be held in high honor. It's at this point, though, where I think churches sometimes get confused about what's going on. On more than a few occasions, there has been an assumption that these men need to be baptized, or sometimes we say rebaptized, so that they can become Christians. There's enough truth in that assumption that what's really going on gets missed. Yes, these 12 men need to be baptized in the name of Jesus, and they will. But the issue here isn't about the question of salvation and being Christians. After all, Luke has already identified these 12 men as disciples. And when Luke mentions the word disciples in Acts, every time, I think it's about 27 times, he is referring to those who belong to the community of believers, what we would call Christians. And it's evident that these 12 disciples have also placed their faith in Jesus Christ, because Paul even speaks to them about when they believed. And like the word disciples, the word believe is used by Luke every time except for once in reference to having faith in Jesus Christ. The issue is found in the question that Paul asked the 12. He asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And Paul's asking him about receiving the Holy Spirit. Well, as I mentioned earlier, the 12 received John's baptism, which the text says was a baptism of repentance. You might say, what is wrong with that? Isn't repentance a good thing? Doesn't God call us to repentance? Yes, he does. You can't read through the Bible and not see this continuous call from God to his people to repent. In the Old Testament and in the New Testament, we're told that we need to repent of our sins. That is, that we're turning away from sin, turning our lives away from sinful living, and turning to God. Repentance is not just about what we're turning away from, but what we're turning to, or who we're turning to. We're turning to God. We're saying no to the ungodly ways of living, and yes to the godly ways of living. We're saying no to all the hatred, all of the immorality, all of the anger, all the hostility, everything that is associated with unholiness, and turning to everything that is holy. The goodness, the truth, the grace, the mercy, the love, the justice, the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Did I get them all? I think. You know what I'm saying? We can't read through the Bible and miss how over and over again God calls people to repent. In fact, when Jesus began his public ministry, he began it with the proclamation, "The kingdom of God has arrived. Repent and believe the good news." Jesus issued the call to repentance. But look at what Paul says after telling the 12 that John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He said, let me get here. I thought I had this up there, but he said that John's baptism was a baptism of repentance, that he, that's John, told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is Jesus. John's ministry was to point people to Jesus, the crucified, the resurrected, and exalted Lord and Messiah, because Jesus is the one in whom the kingdom of God and the promise of salvation is made. So the text tells us that upon hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's what the text tells us. They were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Whatever else we might say about baptism, Luke wants to make sure that we know these 12 were then baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's what Luke says. If we go back to the second chapter of Acts, it's here up on the screen, there was a call to repentance and baptism. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. But what made this call to repentance and baptism unique was not the promise of the forgiveness of sins. That came with John's baptism too. What makes this baptism unique is that it's in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That was completely new. John's baptism came with the promise of forgiveness, but now, not only do we receive the forgiveness of sins, we're to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. There is no other baptism than the one received in the name of Jesus, because there's only one Jesus who reigns as the Lord and Messiah. That's why they need to be baptized. It's the reason the 12 are baptized again in the name of the Lord Jesus, followed by receiving the Holy Spirit. Being baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, the 12 disciples are acknowledging and submitting to his authority as Lord. It's a commitment they are making, a declaration they are making that says their allegiance is now with Jesus. Jesus is the one they will follow. Jesus is the one they will obey. Jesus is the one they will emulate. Jesus is the one their lives will bear witness to. In his new theological commentary on Acts, Willie Jennings writes, Paul invites these disciples to baptize their discipleship in Jesus and thereby join their lives to his in such a way that they will lose their life in the waters only to find it again in the resurrected one. I read that, I was like, wow. To baptize our discipleship in Jesus. It's not that baptism has nothing to do with salvation. To say that would be egregious. But to miss what baptism has to do with discipleship would be equally egregious. Baptism has never been just about receiving a, so to speak, get out of jail free card. Baptism is not just about getting our, so to speak, ticket to heaven. Baptism has always been our initiation into a new way of life in which we live in the name of Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. Baptism is our commitment to living as witnesses of Jesus Christ, leaving behind all the ways of old creation so that we can live as God's new creation, as what I like to call gospel portraits in this world. Because we're baptized, we embody the gospel by conforming to the beliefs, the values, and the habits of Jesus Christ. It's the reason why back in Romans 6, when Paul mentions baptism, the question before that he's asking is, should we continue sinning so that grace may abound? No, of course not. Don't you know you've been baptized into Jesus Christ? Baptism says there should be something different about us because we've made a different commitment. Now, if we're honest, none of us perfectly embodies God's new creation all the time. But that doesn't mean that we lower the standard one bit. Told some visitors recently, they were asking, tell us about your church. I said, the first thing you should know is that we're trying to follow Jesus because we believe Jesus is Lord, and that's our standard, and we're not changing it one bit. We may not always faithfully embody the kingdom the way we should, but we should never lower the standard. The change always needs to be with us. Our baptism matters because it signifies our commitment to living as followers of Jesus Christ, and I cannot emphasize that enough. I have a minister friend who's, I've heard him tell this story several times. He once had a married Christian man in his office trying to justify the extramarital affair that he was having. Leave it to ourselves, we can justify just about anything. You know what my friend's question was? Have you been baptized? He asked that because if the answer is, yes, I've been baptized, then why are you trying to justify sin? Stop. Let it go. This isn't how we're supposed to live. Don't come in here trying to justify unrighteous living because you've made a commitment. Our baptism matters because it signifies our commitment to living as followers of Jesus Christ. It's a commitment that ought to change the way we operate in this world. I wasn't around in the 1960s. I was born in 1973. Some of you were. A little levity, a little humor there. I wasn't around in the 1960s. I don't know what it was like for America during those turbulent years. I know the Vietnam War was unpopular. The assassinations of President Kennedy, Malcolm X, Martin Luther King Jr., and Robert Kennedy were terrible and only made matters worse. I remember my mom telling me how when the news broke that President Kennedy was assassinated, she began crying as she thought the country would be in war. But in the 24 years since 9/11, I've seen our nation become increasingly polarized, filled with vitriol and violence. Sadly, this is who America is. We can try and tell ourselves different, but we are what we do. This is America right now. And from where I stand, it seems like the nation is sinking deeper and deeper into an evil pit, with people becoming so accustomed to it that they no longer even recognize the madness. That they think it's normal. That they think this is the way life should be. And I don't see any good coming from pointing the fingers, because everyone, including us, is a sinner. You can point the finger at some group, try and point out their evil, but we all are sinners. We all got evil. What America needs from us right now, what America needs from us who follows Jesus Christ, whether or not people recognize it or not, is for us to remember our baptism and live accordingly. Nobody needs us to be liberals, conservatives, or moderates. What they need for us is to be the body of Christ, to remember our baptism and to be the people that Jesus has taught us to be. Now, I'm not talking about the way you vote. I don't care about that. If you vote, you're going to vote the way you do because you think that's the best way. I'm talking about the way we speak and the way we act. Are we ambassadors for liberals, conservatives, and moderates, or are we ambassadors for Jesus Christ? There is a difference. Our world doesn't need, the world has plenty of ambassadors for the other. What America, what the world needs is for us to be ambassadors of Christ. That's the only hope. That's the only hope out of this madness that we are sinking deeper and deeper into. And the only way that's going to happen is for us to remember our baptism, to remember the life that we have let go of, that we have died to ourselves, and the life that we have received in God, where we are filled with the Holy Spirit to go out and live in the name of Jesus Christ. And I know that's difficult. We all got our opinions, right? Yesterday I was in the barber shop getting my hair cut. There's about 10 other people in there. And the barber said, "So what do you think about the assassination of Charlie Kirk?" I'm like, are we going to have this? I mean, man, I just looked. I said, well, I think murder is wrong, and I think right now there's a wife and two children who are going to be living a life of grief. How terrible. I didn't know what else to say because, you know, I mean, that's a conversation that can go really bad really quickly. There's 10 or so people in the barbershop and probably 15 or so different opinions. We are called to be ambassadors of Christ in this world, to remember our baptism and to live accordingly. And we live as followers of Jesus Christ. We remember our baptism and live accordingly so that we can share the good news of Jesus Christ with other people. Share the good news that is God's promise of salvation in Jesus Christ, because that's their only hope. At the end of the day, and I realize, the older I get, I'm 51 now, I realize this. Unless Jesus comes again, we are all going to die. We are all going to get sick, have some injury, or if nothing else, just eventually the heart is going to give out. We're going to go to sleep and never wake up again. And at the end of the day, when that happens, all of these other identities that people are chasing aren't going to matter when they stand before God in judgment. They aren't going to matter to us when we stand before God in judgment. What's going to matter is, are we in Christ or out? Have we been faithful in living our commitment, our baptism out? Our baptism matters because it signifies our commitment to living as followers of Jesus Christ. Let's go live accordingly. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all.